Good morning. My name is Kevin Crawford, one of the pastors here. Just to be honest, I have a head cold, so my equilibrium actually is a little bit off. So if I stumble or fall, it's not because I didn't drink something right, but it's just because my equilibrium is a lot off. So trying to be coherent, my head's a little bit of a fog. So I would ask that you pray for me as I continue to pray for you guys as we come to God's word, as we continue in this series, Bless. So let me just, I know Dave just prayed, but I'm dependent upon him in this time. We are dependent upon him. So I just want to ask for his help during this time. So would you pray with me? Lord, we come to you and we are desperate to continue to love you more. So thank you that you first loved us so that we can love you. And so out of your love that we pour back to you, and then we also pour into others. So I pray during this time that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying to us individually and corporately as a church. I pray that you would guide my words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. I pray that you would give us all here ears to hear, not just merely information, but transformation. I pray that Jesus, you would shine. Holy Spirit, to guide us, to exalt Jesus, to be comforted, to be encouraged by who you are, what you have done, and what you continue to do amongst us. So we're desperate for you. In Jesus' name, amen. How does it make you feel when someone is not listening to you? Does it make you feel important? Does it make you feel loved? How does it make you feel when you're in a conversation and this happens? How does it make you feel as a parent when your kids are like this and you say their name politely and then a little bit less politely and then with a tone and with a volume to try to get their attention? As a parent, do you feel the love? Or as my wife hates, it's not just this, but it's my wrist that taps me and tells me who's telling me something right then and right there. We have a problem with listening. We are distracted all the time when it comes to listening. We don't even want to hear others. We actually put earbuds or headphones on when we walk in the neighborhood because we don't want to talk to people. Students walk with them in hallways. We walk in buses and subways with headphones because we don't want to interact with the world around us. We don't want to listen. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have them in. We're learning things and listening to good music at times. Yet we have a problem with listening. It's a scary world when we really don't listen to one another, isn't it? Truly listen. You can hear people, but are we truly listening to people? You can just watch social media and the banter back and forth. You can see the banter back and forth with on our news stations. We have a listening problem. And if you're in a workplace or you've been to university, you probably took like communication 101. Or if you've been in the workplace, you've had these trainings within the office of how to listen. And here's one of those trainings I think you might be familiar with from The Office, literally.
It is crucial that you listen, Dwight. Also, you want to respect their... Are you listening now?
Yes.
Okay, well, you have to show us.
That's impossible. Listening happens in the ear and in the brain. I mean, some organisms have external hairs that vibrate to indicate auditory stimulation, but unfortunately, our external hairs don't vibrate at all. What are you doing?
A little smile and a nod shows that I hear you. Got it?
Kind of.
Nellie, why don't you tell Dwight what we were doing earlier today, and Dwight, you show us that you're listening.
Well, we were in the warehouse where we were discussing the mural that I've commissioned Pam to paint there. We were talking about the color schemes and the major themes we want to hit. Children of the world coming together, cutting down trees to make paper, but not in a child labor-y way.
It's just up and down. Just a regular nod, like a person.
I am a person.
Of yes. course, you're a personal. Yeah. We can do this, all right? And then we thought I can't carry on with that face. Look at it, I'm gonna get nightmares with that face. I mean, he looks like he is laboring over a stool having just eaten human flesh.
It's a bit extreme.
No, I'm sorry, but that is true.
Well, we can laugh about that, but the reality is we do have a listening problem. We can be like, you've been in those conversations where people have glazed over as they're trying to listen to you. How's your listening with your friends, your family, your neighbors, and coworkers? What is listening like for you? You see, listening is not merely a physical thing when it comes to us as followers of Jesus. It's a spiritual reality. You see, we don't listen merely from our ears, but we listen from our heart. Jesus says that from our heart, our mouth speaks, but I also think it's true from our heart, our ears truly listen. It's how our heart is formed. And actually, Jesus in Mark chapter 4, he's actually talking about the parable of the soils and parable of the hearing, and he's talking about the condition of your heart is the way you're receptive to God's word. And I think we can take a secondary, tertiary application of the condition of our heart is the way we truly listen to one another as well. You see, it's a heart condition when it comes to truly loving others and listening to them. It's not a put a hearing aid on or just focus more, but it's a condition of our hearts. We listen from a heart of compassion as followers of Jesus. God wants to transform our heart of a heart of compassion to our friends, our family, neighbors, and coworkers, to empathetic and sympathetically listen to their stories, listen to their dreams, listen to their hurts, listen to their desires, listen to their confusion about what they're dealing with in the world. So the big idea for us today is this. We lead our neighbors toward Jesus, and that's what we're talking about in this series. How do we lead our people? How do we live people that we interact with on a regular basis towards Jesus? That's why we wrote down five names that we regularly interact with. How do we not lead them to a place, not lead them to a person, but lead them towards Jesus? And last week we begin with prayer. We plead, we write the names on the wall. We have our list of five that we're pleading and take those names towards Jesus. And this week we learned that leading towards Jesus by listening to love and love by listening. Now that might seem a little weird and a little double talk, but let's look at that. It says, listen to love. We all agree that when you're listened to, you feel loved. Trust me, I've been married for 22 years. I know when I've not loved my wife well by not listening. And we all know that with our friends or others, that we are loved by listening, or listened to love, and we love by listening. David Augsburg says this about listening. He says, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. I think many of us would agree with that statement. Truly being listened to by others is being loved by them. And you love by listening. And if we walk in the ways of Jesus, we walk in the way of love. And if we walk in the way of Jesus, we understand that Jesus is the art master of listening. See, as Christ followers, I think we really have a problem. We have a problem with listening. Christ followers are really good at telling truth. We are great at throwing truth bombs out there, but we are not good in many ways of truly listening empathetically and sympathetically to people who are hurting and wrestling with the reality of life apart from Jesus. We have to listen to love and love to listen. Why is it important that we be people that listen? Because it reveals people's hearts. It helps us understand where people are at with compassion. It helps us to bear with people. It helps us understand that their story counts. When's the last time someone told their story of their hurt, their desires, their dreams, and you actually responded with, thank you for telling me that. Thank you for letting me into your story and transparency. It's a gift to hear where you're at. Listening causes us to know where people are at so that we can love them where they're at. Why don't we listen? Because we're absorbed with self. The great Trinity, me, myself, and I. We don't listen because we're distracted by things in our hands, constantly connected to the world instead of engaged in the moment. Why don't we listen? Because maybe we don't care. Why don't we listen? Maybe because we don't engage with the Jesus who is constantly listening in compassion to our soul. And what he's done to us and what he's continued to do for us, he wants to do through us. You see, we're in this series, Blessed. How do we tactically, intentionally love our neighborhoods, love the people around us? We begin with praying for people. We don't end ever by praying for people. We're pleading for people's names. And this week we learn, how do we genuinely listen to love and love to listen? Next week we'll talk about eating, which many of us will love. Then we'll talk about, out of listening to people, how do we actually serve people? And out of listening to people and eating with people, how do we share our story of what God's done in our own life? But this week specifically, how do we listen? And I think we must start with the reality of who Jesus is. Because unless we start with who Jesus is and how he listens to us continually, we will not be people of Jesus, of his way, of his disciples, to walk in his ways. I could sit up here this morning and give you a great TED Talk. I watched 3 TED Talks this week on listening. They were great. But what was absence from them is a heart transformation. The absence of them, it wasn't wrong, but it's how do we as Christ followers uniquely walk in the ways of Jesus as listeners with compassion? The writer Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that of Christ Jesus had." And he goes on to talk about what Christ has done, that he came as a servant. But in this, let's look for just a moment. He says, think of others as better than yourselves. When you're listening, are you thinking of others better than yourself? When somebody's telling you a story about the fish they caught, are you celebrating in the moment with them? Or what triggers right away is your fish story right away? Or the thing you bought, it triggers what you bought or your experience. Are we in the moment? Is a spotlight on this person, or is the spotlight then shift to us as we're listening? He says, don't look out only for your own interests, but the interest of others. How do you know the interest of others unless you listen? You can presume, you can read the cover of the book, but unless you truly listen and understand the story and have patience with people, and engage them with questions, we won't know the interest of people so we can love them where they're at. And so he goes on after this in Philippians to talk about who Jesus is. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this in the book Life Together. He says, Christians have forgotten the ministry of listening has been committed to them by him, Jesus, who is himself the greatest listener and whose work they should share. We should listen with ears of God that we may speak the word of God. And what he's saying is that the ministry of Jesus listening to us should transform us to be listeners of others. So let's look at Jesus. Let's look at the God of the universe who created everything and is still intimately involved in each and every one of our lives and listening to us. As I prayed and processed this, one of the stories that came to mind from the story of God and our story was the story of Israel in captivity in Egypt. Here is the people of God enslaved in Egypt for years. And they cried out, and it says this in Exodus chapter 2. It says this, but the Israelites continued to groan under the burden of slavery. They cried out for help. So here's a people in a desperate situation, the people of God. They cry out in prayer to God. And their cry rose to God, and God heard their groaning. And he remembered his covenant with promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. So here we see the God of the universe listening intently to the cries of his people as they're enslaved in Egypt. And so it is, the God of the universe has heard our cries as we're enslaved to Satan, sin, death, and our own flesh. And we cry out for salvation, and he brings it through his son, Jesus Christ. But he continues to listen. He's a listening God. He doesn't just merely hear our voices, but he listens to us intimately. I think we see this when the God of the universe became Jesus. God in a body, he dwelt amongst us, and he experienced everything that we experienced. And we see the intimacy of God in Jesus Christ listening. And one of the stories comes in Luke chapter 18 of a story of Jesus listening to the circumstances that he's around. It says this, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting there on the roadside. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So here we have this blind beggar on the roadside. What do you think this blind beggar on a regular basis would ask people as they passed by? You can talk. Money. You walk through any metropolitan area, any town where there's homeless, blind and begging people, they're asking for money. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's the situation though, right? The presumption is This blind beggar, what his greatest need by observation, by merely looking at the cover of the book, his need is he wants money, he wants food. The story goes on. This blind beggar called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Give me that which I don't deserve. Mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he continued to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So the crowd is moving. This, we don't know what this blind beggar knows about Jesus. He knows something. He doesn't know everything. He's probably heard word on the street, literally heard, maybe not. Something about Jesus, and he calls out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." A declaration that he is Lord, declaration that he is the King of Kings. "Have mercy on me." And everybody else is like, "Shut up. Be quiet, you dumb, blind beggar." Kevinisms inserted. Jesus is on a mission. He's going up to Jerusalem, up to Jericho. But this is what happens. Jesus stopped. The procession stops immediately and ordered the man to be brought to him. And so the presumption, and my presumption, is the same people that were shouting to this blind beggar, "Be quiet, shut up," now are called by Jesus to now bring this man to Jesus' feet. Humble pie that he began to eat at this point. But that's not the point of the story. When he heard, or when he came near, Jesus asked. So what was the presumption? The presumption is food. The presumption is money. Everyone who walked by. But Jesus says, not says, ask. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus is not presuming. He knows the need. He is asking a question of this blind beggar. "What do you need from me? What's your longest desire? What's going on inside of you?" Everybody else walks by and sees your physical need. But what do you need? You're calling out to me, "Son of David, have mercy." What do you need? See, the God of the universe became one of us in Jesus. And he's still intimately involved in our life. And he says, "What do you need?" Because he cares for us as individuals. And it goes like this, and he says this, "Lord, I want to see," he replied. He wants to see, and the story goes on, and Jesus said, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God. So we see that the God of the universe is Jesus Christ, and he has the power to heal because he spoke and he created the universe, and he can speak and heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, the leper. He has power over all these things, but he does this in a very personal way because he says, "What do you need from me? And let me listen." See, do you know this Jesus that continually listens to you? This Jesus who walked this earth is actually sitting on a throne right now. It says in Hebrews, he says, "Come to me in your time of need, and you'll receive grace and mercy." Do you know this Jesus that you, do you interact with this Jesus who continually listens to your dreams, your desires, your hurt, your pain, your depression, your anxiety, your struggles in life, and that he listens to you, and he's an active listener? He's not like yada, yada, yada. He says, "I will come and meet you in your time of need, whether through my word, my spirit, or by my people." Do you know this Jesus? Because what he's done in you and what he continues to do in listening to you, he wants to do through you. You see, friends, before we can talk about listening to love and loving to listen our friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers to bring them towards Jesus, we must be people who are sitting at the feet of Jesus and knowing how much he's listening to us with compassion and empathy. I want you to know this Jesus. Because from that, it transforms our heart. That is the gospel. You see, Christianity is not merely behavior modification, that you came in today and I merely tell you, you better be better listeners. You can Google TED Talks on that, and they're good. There's great principles. But there's something that happens supernaturally within Christ followers by the power of the Spirit, that our hearts are softened and we are given the perseverance and giving the patience, and giving the love, and giving the joy, and giving the kindness to be people who have ears to truly listen to people and where they're at. You see, we talked about this last week. What Jesus has done for you, he listens with compassion. He listens in love. He is always there with an empathetic and sympathetic ear. And we can be like, thank you, Jesus. It's just me and Jesus, and I have benefited from everything that Jesus has done, and Jesus is in my bucket. That is true, but there is something greater, because what he's done in you, he wants to do through you, and he wants to demonstrate what you experience from him and from his throne to the world around you. As you experience his love and compassion, as he listens to you in prayer, he wants to demonstrate that through you, that you would be a conduit of listening. Whoa, that was loud. Listening to others with compassion. As he listens in love and empathy, he wants you to be intentional and loving with empathy and sympathy with others. It's not merely a bucket that you receive, but he's created you to be a conduit of that listening, loving, compassionate to the world around us. How else will people see the God of the universe but through his body, his people, the people of God? So what does that look like for us to be a people who listen? The scriptures are filled with some principles of that. Let me just look at a few in James chapter 1:19. This is the coffee mug verse that we would put, like, if I was to give everybody a coffee mug today and say, like, this is the coffee mug verse of what we should do as Christ followers as to listening. This is one of those great principles. Excuse me for a second. The brother of Jesus, James, says this: know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, I would say, let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. Most of us, as an extrovert, as a quick thinker, as a quick-witted, arrogant man, I am quick to speak. And my wife, if she was an extrovert, would amen it right now. I am, by my nature, quick-witted, and I can outwit most people with a phrase. And it gets me in trouble a lot. Unless, says the elder chairman. But without continuing to die to self and say, what is the Spirit of God in me to transform me, to walk in the ways of Jesus, it is to be quick to listen, because it's other-centered. Be quick to listen because it's others' interest. The spotlight is not on me, it's on them. The proverb says this: let the wise listen and add to their learning. Now, most of us think, I want to add to my learning, I'm going to add to my academic portfolio or my spiritual portfolio of learning about God. But a wise person says, I want to learn about you. When we look out for the interest of others and not ourselves, we are a learner of other human beings. We learn through their stories. We learn by asking questions. So either we are wise as a Christ follower or we are fools. And a wise Christ follower is one who says, I want to be a learner of you because your life has dignity, value, and worth because you are a human being. And I want to be a learner of your story. Another proverb says this: fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Welcome to social media. Fools have no pleasure in understanding, so we listen to understand. A fool has no idea of what they want to learn. They just want to spout their truth. And I think our perception with as Christians is more that we want to spout truth instead of listen to understand and bridge the gap of our story to their story. Another proverb says this: to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. If you were to take the narrative of a conversation, you hear someone's conversation, they say something, I caught this big fish, right? So right then in the conversation, when they caught this big a fish, you begin to stop listening in that moment, because then you begin to articulate, or in your own heart and mind, the story that you're going to tell of the one top. Or, that's not bad, but you're listening to someone and this is their problem, but then they're not done with their problem. They're not done with their story. And then you want to try to figure out how to fix their problem. Right, men? How's that go for you in marriage? And you stop listening once you start to try to fix it in your mind. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. So yes, those are principles. You could actually gain those from any TED talk. But remember, what we're talking about is a heart transformation. As we engage this Jesus, he begins to transform us to be listeners of others. Are we good listeners? Not just to the people around us, but the culture around us. You see, it's very easy to kind of presume what's going on and what the needs are, but we have to listen. Michael Frost, a pastor in Australia, so whatever he says sounds really smart because he has an accent, but it doesn't come through in his books, tells the story of missionaries who went into India, into the slums of India. So here's Westerners who enter into India, a very impoverished part of India itself, and they go into the slum, and so these missionaries have all the resources, they have people power behind them, and so they come into the slum, and they said, what do you need from us? Basically, they have deep pockets, and they have deep people. What do you need? We can build you a hospital. We can build you a school. We can do, what do you need? Do you want a playground? What do you need? And they said, we need a mailbox. We need a mailbox. No, what do you need? Like, okay, we can get you a mailbox. Like, that's easy. Like, we can get a step two plastic one. It'll last a while. But what do you need? And as they began to unravel the story, and the missionaries asked the people in the slums, why do you need the mailbox? They said, once we get a mailbox, we'll get what's called a zip code here. And once we get a zip code here, we'll be recognized as a people group. We'll be recognized as human beings who live in a location. And once we're recognized as a people group, as human beings in this location, then other people will recognize us and will be recognized by the government, and things will begin to move forward. See, if the missionaries just said, I've got all the resources, and I see the situation you're in, and they presume what they need without listening, they're off track. But when we listen, we understand, and it takes time to understand what's going on. So the missionaries were listening to love, and love by listening. How well do you listen to your neighbors? Have you had a conversation literally with your physical neighbors and listened to them? And then a follow-up conversation about what's going on in their life with a coworker, with someone at the gym. Truly listen to them. And not just the people that we interact with, but listening to the culture around us. What are the needs of your neighborhood? What are the needs of Lakeville? What are the needs of Burnsville, Farmington? What's the need of the South Metro area? So we might learn how to bridge the truth of Jesus into that. You see, Paul, we see this with Paul as he entered into Athens. So here's a Paul who had been preaching from the Old Testament every place he went. He began with Jesus and the resurrection every place he went. But then when he moved into Athens, they had no idea of God-fearing who Yahweh was. So as he listened to the culture and all the gods of the culture, he began with the unknown gods to present the gospel. You see, Paul came in and I would say he called exegeted the culture. He understood the culture. He listened to the culture of what was going on so then he could bridge the truth of Jesus into the culture. He didn't presume about them, but he listened to them. Are we listening to the culture? So let me talk about some practical steps as Christ followers. Listening does not require certain things. Listening does not require agreement. Followers of Jesus, friends, to listen to others does not mean you agree with them. You have this perseverance and patience to listen to others. How do you listen? Are you listening to people with different points of view? Or do you only hang around people and talk to people with your point of view? Do you have the muscle, athletic ability, muscle meaning just not athletic, like you got to run with people, but to engage people where they're at and say, it's okay to disagree in your mind. By listening does not mean you agree with people. People who watch a different news network than you, people that have a different view of sexuality than you, people who have a different political view than you, people who have a different economic view of things, do you listen to them to understand what's behind the thing? Listening does not require agreement. Listening does not require a rebuttal. Just because someone said something, you're listening in compassion to understand their story and what's going on, it does not require a rebuttal. My wife, again, would say amen to that. The way I'm uniquely designed is even in college, I did argumentation theory. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd be a lawyer. And so I love to trap people in their bad syllogisms, in their poor argumentation, in their poor logic. It doesn't really go well in marriage. It doesn't really go well in friendships and building bridges for the gospel of Jesus. Listening does not require a rebuttal. Listening does not require us judging people. It doesn't. It requires a heart of compassion to listen where they're at. Now, is there time to disagree? Is there time to have rebuttal? Is there time for as we correct? Yes, there is. But friends, don't get me like, well, isn't there a time? Yes, but most of us, our flesh is in the place of disagreement, rebuttal, and judgment. So we have to be renewed in our mind by the Spirit of God, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we don't have to agree. We don't have to rebuttal. We don't have to bring judgment. We don't have to bring correction in the moment in a conversation if it's not helpful. Do you want to build a bridge or make a point? I think that's what I think through all the time when I'm listening, if I'm going to say something. Do I want to build a bridge? Do I want to have influence? Or do I just want to make a point? Jeff Vanderstel, a pastor in Seattle, says this: I often find that we are giving answers to questions people are not even asking, or cramming information into hearts that are longing for love, not just facts. If we listen to people, we understand their needs, their dreams, their desires, and we're just not merely being pontificating truth from somewhere, but we're engaged with our hands and our hearts, and it's a long process. It's a long process of patience with people. It's a supernatural reality. We don't have the patience in ourselves that is the fruit of the Spirit, to have patience to listen to one another, that are people who are far from God. So what does listen involve? It involves respect. If we want to walk in the way of Jesus, we see that Jesus respected other human beings. Didn't matter what they acted like, if they were a Samaritan or a woman, whether they were a leopard or not, whether they are self-righteous or unrighteous, whether they're sick or healthy. He respected everybody because they're created in his image, his likeness. Every human being has dignity, value, and worth. Do we respect other human beings, or are we put off by even appearances? Second, it takes humility. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became a servant of all. If he's our servant, what he's done to us, he wants to do through us and be a servant of all. It takes humility. It takes appreciation of people's stories. It takes the art of asking questions instead of making statements. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to teach you how to ask good questions, to show love and compassion to your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers? Have you ever entered into a time that I'm going to go to lunch with this coworker or this person, and you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me ways to ask questions, to genuinely have compassion and understand where this person is, their wants, desires, and dreams and hurts, that he would give you those things. Lastly, being active. If you've done any work in communication, it's an active listener. It's what we saw Dwight kind of do. Active listening is nonverbals. It's engaging. Help me understand that better. It's interacting with people by asking questions. Doug Pollock, in his book, God's Space, which I would recommend of understanding conversations, he says this: when we demonstrate that we are truly seeking to understand people, not simply change their point of view, we create a safe environment that allows them to open up at deeper levels. That you're listening to truly because you care for them, not to try to change them, not to change their point of view, but you want to understand where they're at, and your heart breaks in compassion for them, and you kind of earn the right to be heard. At this point, I want to invite my friend Craig Sine to come up and to share a little bit about how God has worked in his life to listen to his neighborhood and how to love his neighbors by listening to love and love by listening. So thanks, Craig, for coming up here and just share a little bit about what God's been doing in your life to listen to your neighbors and to love them where they're at.
Thank you, Kevin. I'd say this is all Christ, all spiritual, in the sense that several months ago I started meeting with a brother in Christ for the church, and we talked about how we can impact the community and the people around us, our neighbors. So that led for me picking and choosing who I was going to pray about and pray for. And I was looking for opportunities, so weeks went by, and one of my neighbors was out, and he was cutting the grass, and I stopped over and just talked to him about things, and then he said he had a tree he wanted to cut down, and I said, well, I'll help you cut that tree down, and he goes, I said, just let me know, and he goes, okay, you would, and several weeks went by, and didn't say anything, so I did something I never did before. I went up there with my saw, and I said, are we ready to cut the tree down? And he was a little surprised. He said, well, let's go to it. And so we spent a few hours doing that, and we went to his backyard and started trimming trees and bushes back there. What I'll have to say is prayer and Christ is everything in the process, because he took the blinders off me from me, myself, and I, of excuses of too busy, not ready to do that. I have nothing in common with him. Took those blinders off and allowed me to see a need. And so I just filled myself in that space. And so then the following few weeks later went by, and they had a bunch of people over, and they're in their garage talking. I just felt compelled, well, I'm going to go over there and talk to them. And we had a good conversation about football and what his sons are doing and stuff. So it's leading me to a step in the process. And as I was leaving, the wife of our neighbor said to me, boy, Craig, that was really great what you did. And so hopefully I have inroads, and other examples have happened in our neighborhood because of that. So, but like I said, it's all Christ. I have nothing to boast in. So.
Thanks, Craig. Thank you. You can clap. Thanks, Craig, for doing that. It's not something incredible. It's supernatural. Just to listen to his neighbor and cut a tree down. That's as he listened, he learned how to serve and began to serve his neighbor. We can all do that. It's the work of God in our life. But what's stopping us? What are things in your own life that are roadblocks? Is it yourself? Is it your time? Is it you're afraid? You don't know what to say? Is there a lack of dependence upon Jesus in those moments to give you the words to say, the questions to ask? Are we assuming what people need? Are we just reading people like a cover of a book? Or are we engaging them as individual human beings where they're at, asking them questions, inviting them to tell their story to us of why they live a certain way or what they do, and just to continue to unpack their story so we might love them where they're at? To earn the right to be heard, to serve them, as we'll talk about, as we listen to them, and eventually be able, as we listen to their story, how we would bridge our story of Jesus to their story. Because without listening, we don't know how to serve. Without listening, we don't know how to bridge the truth of Jesus to where they're at. So may we be a people that listen well. May we be a people who engage the God of the universe, who continues to listen to us, who's transforming our hearts to listen well to others. We are to lead our neighbors toward Jesus. That's our mission here. We are sent to love like Jesus. Lead them toward Jesus by listening to love, and love by listening. What would it look like in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your gym, where you do your hobbies, if you truly began to take the interest of others by active listening in the way of Jesus? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you are a God who is not deaf. Thank you that you are a God who is not in an ivory tower waiting for us to come to you, but you came to us. Thank you for the incarnation of Jesus, of God becoming one of us and dwelling amongst us. Thank you that in Jesus we see the fullness of the Father and manifested the compassion of you as you engage humanity. Thank you that you are for us and not against us. Thank you that you want to listen to our cries, our desires, our dreams, our doubts, and our wrestling. Thank you for that freedom that's in the gospel as we live in the truth of Jesus and the freedom of that. And Lord, would that permeate our heart, our mind, our being to be people who listen well to others? Lord, cause in us, Holy Spirit, a compassion from our gut and our heart to listen well. Holy Spirit, cause the fruit of the Spirit to flow through us, to be patient, to be kind, to be loving in our listening. Give us wisdom. Shut our mouth and give us ears to hear what you're saying to us and what the world is saying, so we might understand to show and share the love of Jesus where they're at. So we expect and ask for you to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine in us individually and us corporately, to begin to bless our neighborhoods, to pray for people, to listen, to genuinely eat in conversation, so we might serve and share the love of Jesus in the story of the gospel. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.